You're listening to another episode of VGCast. VGCast, of course, is our video game podcast where we digest the latest video game news and our changelog, where we chat about what we've been playing in our game queue and what to look forward to in the world of the video game industry. I'm your host, Brad Johansson, and with me today, as always, is our co-host and buddy, the fifth member of the Netflix original show, The Defenders, Mr. Troy Giles. What's up, man?
Sony won. It's over. Just throwing the flag. It's over.
While we're on the subject of The Defenders, what would be your superhero name?
Good question. I have no idea.
How about your Twitter handle, Pastor Alpha?
Yeah, I get it. What do I do? Bless people, I guess? I don't know.
You're the opposite of the Punisher.
Yeah, exactly. I healed them with holy light. Well, I killed them with holy light. Who knows?
But we are not a comic book podcast, although I don't know if you had a chance to check out the Jessica Jones. I think you did, right? Did you finish it?
Finished it.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. All right. But again, we're not a comic book podcast, although we both do dive into the comic book scene. We are a video game podcast, and goodness, there is a lot of news to cover. Was not expecting there to be hurricane-level winds of video game news, but hey, there we go, and we got to jump right into this, Troy. So we're going to start the show, as we always do, with the changelog. So, out of the 5,000 news stories, Troy... What is on the top of your changelog?
Okay, you already know that it's probably going to be on both of the tops of our changelog. It's going to be Final Fantasy VII from PSX.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
The good and the bad of Final Fantasy VII. Because
the good and the bad? What's the bad? I'm interested to hear that.
Oh my God, does the game look gorgeous?
It does. While you're on the subject of gorgeous, have you had a chance to take a look at the PS3 tech demo recently? I was just curious if anybody else had done that to see how they compared.
No.
Okay. Because I remember seeing that trailer. So, you remember that trailer, the tech demo they showed?
There was a PS3 tech demo?
Yeah, it was typical Square Enix and Sony trolling people like they've done numerous times now. I don't know if they mean to, but yeah, when the PS3 launched at... So launch year, 2006. Yeah. So the E3 right before it launched, because they always launch in the fall or Christmas holiday season. But that E3 right before they launched, I have these on DVD, but they showed a tech demo showing off what the PlayStation 3 could do, and they showed Final Fantasy VII. And that was kind of the first time they really trolled the audience with a remake, and they had to like shoot everything down. Like, no, we're not actually remaking the game. It's just a tech demo.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, I was just curious because I remember seeing that tech demo and going, good Lord, that looks pretty. And now seeing this trailer for the actual remake, I was going, wow, I wonder how they hold up. I was just curious if you saw it. But go ahead.
My God, is it gorgeous. There are some things about the look of it that I don't like. Namely, just the Cloud just looks a little bit like he needs to eat something and... He's looking more androgynous than he's usually looking. You know, he's looking. You can tell he's a male, but at the same time, it's like, were you born a male, or were you kind of a female at the beginning? I don't know. not saying that's a bad thing or anything like that. It just looks different from what we're used to, especially from things that have shown them in more 3D environments, like the Advent Children, like you said, a tech demo for PS3, even from his most recent iteration in Smash Brothers, he looks different, of course. But yeah, I mean, man, does that look good? They got Barrett in the trailer. It's like, oh, it's Barrett. He looks awesome. This looks amazing. And then we find out it's gonna be broken up into chunks. Hooray!
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I totally understand where they're coming from, the fact that they think it's going to be like bigger than one game, I guess.
Yeah.
So it seems more like they're just trying, they know they can make more money if they just sell it in $30 increments and episodic content, similar to what Telltale does. So like, I understand why they might be like, well, there's so much more content now. like all these extra polygons, all this extra audio, all the voice acting. It's really going to take up a lot of space. So I totally get like why they might want to, but it does kind of seem like a money grab, like a cash grab. Not that I'm not going to throw all my money at the screen anyway, but it does kind of upset me. I feel like, shouldn't they? It's 2015. Shouldn't they be able to do this on one disc?
They should, but at the same time, I mean, remember OG Final Fantasy VII? Came on, yeah. What, four discs? Was it four discs? I think it was four discs.
It was definitely either three or four, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was four.
We know it was multi-disc. So, I mean...
And it was more than two.
I can see it. I mean, maybe it's a way of going back to that same thing of being multi, instead of multi-disc, it's just multi-episodic. The problem is that we have right now is that we just don't have enough information. We don't know how long each episode parts are going to be, you know, how many parts there are going to be. Who knows? I mean, we could be looking at like maybe just a two-parter.
Yeah.
Or we could be looking at four parts or five parts. I mean,
do you think this is actually going to be episodic like Telltale or more along the lines of Final Fantasy 13, which is was just three essential games. Granted, each one was slightly different. Not to say that like the games will radically change each time like Final Fantasy 13 did, but just in the sense that they've essentially made it a trilogy. Do you think they'll make Final Fantasy 7 a trilogy?
I mean, there's a chance of it. There's a chance of anything. But, I mean, honestly, as long as they don't do like how they did 13, where they broke it up so much that it was, what, a year or two until Final Fantasy 13 2, or what was it, Lightning's something, came out after 13. And then, you know, I hope it's not years that we're waiting for Final Fantasy 7 Part 2 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be... If that meant that if they broke it up in the episodic content that we'd get it a lot faster, and who knows? I mean, with Sony and the guys behind Final Fantasy, who knows? They may get it. You may get it a lot sooner with episodic content. They may give you one each month or something like that. We don't know how they're going to split it. We don't know how we're going to have to pay for it either. Because, I mean, are we going to have to buy a season pass to get all the episodes?
Oh, God, no. I hope not. Jesus.
You know, rebuying it all in one chunk, and then they'll just release it. Like, you pay the base amount, and then just release the episodes. You know, you pay for all how right. many parts to it at one time, and that's it. We really don't know. Is it going to be side stories? Is it going to be just all main story? Who knows?
Yeah, they did say it was going to be bigger. And yeah. I think what they were implying was that they're going to be, it's a remake. So like they're actually going to be changing things. And one of the main changes I saw was the combat system, which, I mean, I don't know about you. It looks like Final Fantasy 15. Granted, that game's not out yet, but it does look like it's running that almost identical combat system that we've seen in a few trailers. I just got a funny thought here. What if Final Fantasy VII Remake comes out before Final Fantasy XV?
I don't know. I mean, there's a good chance they may come out in the same year.
Yeah, it's true.
But it would kind of... I don't know. I think Sony would just kind of eat its own tail by doing that. Like, you might want to just save a Final Fantasy, like, either put out 15 first or put out 7 first, and then the year after that put out the other one that hadn't come out yet.
Well, the interesting thing there, that's not Sony's issue. That is Square Enix.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Ooh, I wonder if Square Enix will make this a yearly thing, like their own Call of Duty. Well,
oh, God, no. We don't need all that. And going back to the combat, you know, it does give you that 15 feeling. It also gives you that, if there's any Kingdom Hearts people that are listening, it gave a Kingdom Hearts type feel to it because it's real-time combat. Mm-hmm. And the way that if you notice the way that the menu was set up, it almost gave you like a Kingdom Hearts menu, except, you know, they didn't show everything like Kingdom Hearts did, but it does show like attack. And then I think one of them was magic. I don't know what the other ones were, but yeah, one was attack and one was magic and stuff like that. So it looks real time, which is awesome. I like the departure of going to real time instead of turn base. You know, if you want turn base, they just released the Final Fantasy VII PC release on the PS4. You can go play that,
right?
Or play the PC release if you have a PC, or vice versa. You know, but going in a new direction with it is nice. It's just the episodic thing is just kind of throwing me off. It looks amazing. It's Final Fantasy VII. We've been clamoring for it for years. We're finally getting it. We just may not be getting it in the way that we always wanted it to be.
I agree with that combat. I think I am also really for changing up that combat system. I reminisce about the days when you had the turn-based systems in those JRPGs. The Lost Odyssey was one of my favorite JRPGs of all time. That game caught a lot of flack when it came out in 2007 or 8 for being too old school with its combat system, and I loved it. But I understand that frustration of people who say, well, I've been there, I've done that, I've played that combat system 1,000 times, and they want something new. And I think this new combat system looks great. I think the graphics engine looks great. It looks believable, which is a really important thing for me. It doesn't look impossible, kind of like that Epic Games CGI trailer they showed at PSX, but we could talk about that later. And the episodic content, I also agree, gives me, makes me nervous. But there's one thing I want to get your opinion on as well, because I don't know how I feel about this, and that's the voice acting. When they first started talking, and this is the same thing I kind of went through when Advent Children came out, the movie, which I happened to like. It wasn't the greatest movie of all time, but I enjoyed seeing those characters that I loved on screen doing awesome things. But as those American versions were released, I was just kind of like, is this really Cloud? And also, that happened again during this PSX demo, especially for Barrett. I don't know why. I just thought that he should have like a deeper voice because he's this big, jacked, muscular dude.
Yeah, he should have a deeper voice, and that's why I'm going to be playing this game all in Japanese, because I don't know if this is going to stick, like if they're going to be the actual voice actors or not. But, you know, if they're not, then okay, we'll see what happens later. But right now, yeah, Barrett should sound deeper, and Cloud from Advent Children, I'm just thinking back to that. It's like, ooh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, I really liked watching that movie in Japanese. I don't mind reading too much because, yeah.
Yeah, we both like anime, so yeah, I agree. I liked watching it in Japanese, and as I've gotten older, I've actually enjoyed playing those JRPGs or Japanese-style games in their Japanese track. I don't have a problem reading those subtitles at all. But yeah, man, I was listening to that, and I was like, wow, that's a really interesting that they went ahead and showed that, because typically with Square Enix, when they show these Final Fantasy games, initially, they're always in Japanese. They're using the Japanese actors, and they'll subtitle them. Sometimes they won't even subtitle them. So, yeah. It definitely caught me off guard. And I didn't think they were horrible. And I understand that I don't know if they'll ever live up to the characters we portrayed in our heads with them. I mean, I don't know about you, but with my best friend back when we were, I don't remember how old we were, playing in front of our little CRT TV in my bedroom, we would voice over these characters. And I remember Barrett, we would both do very deep voices, and Cloud, we would have this heroic tone to our voice, that kind of thing. And so obviously these voice actors for these iconic characters will never live up to what all of us have in our heads. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think they were horrible, but I also wasn't like, yeah, that's Cloud.
Yeah. I mean, you want Cloud to be heroic. You want Sephiroth to be villainous and cunning and all that.
That's a good point.
You want Aerith to be caring. You want Tifa to be somewhat caring, but also the tough chick that doesn't take Jack from nobody, you know? So I'm just hearing some of these voices now. We haven't heard any of the other voices just yet. So who knows how this could be sounding. I mean, like I said, we can't say anything just yet because it's not the full game. It's just little snippets, and like you said, most Final Fantasy trailers like that, they're either in Japanese or they don't say anything at all, or they just have music over it, so you really don't even hear anything in the first place,
right?
So I mean, they actually hear some of these people talk and everything, it's just like, not to really what I expected, honestly. I would rather, I liked the sound of Cloud's voice from Kingdom Hearts. I mean, you didn't really hear it all that often,
right?
But you heard it. It sounded like a Cloud that had been I mean, I think, I don't know what the time frame of it is, but it just feels like he'd lost Aerith at that point in that game. So he sounded a little like he lost his a little bit. So he had some sorrow, but he also had some hope in his voice. And he also had that strong hero type, mm-hmm. you know, so it'd just be interesting. I mean, I don't know if they'll go with named actors or if they'll just go with people that, you know, are really good voice actors. Who knows?
You know, I mean, I think they need to hire Troy Baker and Nolan North.
Oh God. Okay. Well, yeah, because they're doing everything else. I mean, they already got controversy enough with Uncharted with voice actors, and we don't need to add any more Uncharted voice actors to Final Fantasy. Or yeah, they are Uncharted voice actors now because Troy Baker's in Uncharted now. That's so true. Great. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I was not expecting to see that at PSX. I got to be honest. I mean, we talked back when E3 and they showed that the video at their E3 press conference, and I'm pretty sure we both agreed, as well as just about everyone else in the gaming industry, was like, yeah, we won't see gameplay of this till 2016 E3, and we won't see a release until likely 2017. And then here we go, just a few months later. Boom, we've got a huge slice of gameplay. Combat, I mean, free roam. You can see the menu system. I mean, it was pretty, and the cutscenes, it's pretty intense to see that and go, wow, this is coming along pretty quickly. So I'm definitely excited for that. That wasn't my personal top choice.
Really?
And any other week, I think that would have been it. But there was something else that has just been sitting in the back of my head since the Game Awards, actually, that I just can't get it, I can't let it go, and that's when Jeff Keighley stood up there after Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain won Best Action Adventure Game at the Game Awards, and Kiefer Sutherland had to go up there to accept the award because Hideo Kojima was not legally allowed to be at the Game Awards to accept his award for that game or any of the awards that he may have received later on. And Jeff Keighley got up there and, I mean, did exactly what I wanted him to do when I realized Kojima was not accepting that award, to go ahead and address the elephant in the room and say, look, this is why he's not here. Konami told us he wasn't allowed to come. His lawyers, their lawyers said that essentially. And that he's in Japan, he's in Tokyo watching the show, and he really wishes that he could be there. And that hopefully they see him the next year. Now that, unfortunately, unleashed a firestorm onto the social media, I guess, the people who handle the social media accounts for Konami Productions in America, which I say unfortunately because they had nothing to do with this. They're just the social media people, but Twitter and Facebook and everything blew up against Konami, rightfully so, I guess, towards Konami. But yeah, man, I was watching that and I was just like, what? Konami, he's not legally allowed? When is his contract for slavery up? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I think I remember texting you, and I was even explaining this whole thing to Brittany. I was like, it kind of sucks that Konami isn't making any big games anymore. Not that they were really selling that many anyway, because I would totally just be like, nope, never buying a Konami game again. I mean, that was so appalling to me. A freaking legend like Kojima. And you may not agree with this. You may agree with this. I don't know. As I was explaining this story to my fiance, I said he may be the most, if not one of, influential game designers in the industry alive today. And the only other person I could think off the top of my head that would put above Hideo Kojima is Shigeru Miyamoto. Those two right there, I mean, they're freaking legends living right now in the gaming industry. And to think that Kojima wouldn't be allowed there because Konami's lawyers, whom he doesn't even technically work for anymore, says he couldn't be there. Wow. It made my jaw drop. Probably more so than Final Fantasy VII, which, like I said, any other week, Final Fantasy VII would be the number one thing to talk about. But I could not let that Kojima thing go. Man, that just bothered me. So I have to applaud Jeff Keighley, though, for not like backing down from that and not just sugarcoating it and say, oh, yeah, Kojima couldn't be here today, yada, 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 yada. So I really appreciate that Keighley stepped up and was like, look, this is how it is. There's nothing we could do about it. It sucks. We're going to move on. So, but did that bother you at all?
Oh, yeah, it bothered me. No, it bothered me quite a bit. Like you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly that he is one of the most influential people in gaming ever. I mean, at least even in our generation, like if you see a Kojima game, you know 99% of the time it's going to be good.
Right.
It's going to catch your attention. So seeing that, hey, he's been banned from coming to this award ceremony. There was another award ceremony that he was banned from too,
That's
that
true.
I think Konami or Kojima Productions or Metal Gear Solid 5 won an award for it. He couldn't be there.
Yeah, I
I
think a
almost think this one was in
Konami's.
Japan too.
Yeah. I don't remember what that show was, but you're right. A Konami rep accepted that award.
Yeah. Konami rep accepted it and everything is like, oh man, they're not going to live this back. They're not going to outlive this backlash. I mean, it's a mess, and I don't know what they're going to do to gain favor back from people, but they're going to have to bend over backwards and kiss everybody's butt to get anybody to buy their games anymore, for the most part.
And
For those people that, there are people that want to just be like, oh, let's boycott Metal Gear Solid 5 because they took Kojima out of it now. That was a little far. But to do this to a man that made the game and everything like that, and for his game to actually win an award, it's like, wow. I mean, even if he couldn't have even come up there and get his award, if he could have at least been in the audience,
yeah.
stand up, wave up there and everything like that. But if he didn't have to get up there and get his award, I guess that would have been a little bit better. But to take the just completely backstabbing route of banning him from the game awards, so with his game in there in some of the more prestigious categories, is a low blow for Konami.
I don't understand the thought process behind that. I've been trying to wrap my head around the idea of not allowing someone like that to accept the game who is literally not going to work for you anymore. Like this, I mean, it would be very easy to have not had this happen. Just say, yeah, Kojima, you can go accept that award. That's fine. It's our game. We're still getting the money from it. And it says a Konami game on the box. That's fine, but you can accept the award. Like, I don't understand why that would have been such a big deal. They're still getting the money in, and they're not even going to be making true AAA titles anymore. So what's the big deal? I don't understand the motive behind all of this that's circulating. Go
I
ahead.
guess the problem is that we still don't know what happened.
That's true, yeah.
We still don't know what happened between Konami and Kojima. So I mean, until we find out what happened behind those closed doors, we're in the dark as much as anybody else. So
That's true. Maybe Kojima came in one day and just took a shit on somebody's desk and they were like, okay,
I
you're
mean,
not getting any awards.
he
Maybe.
had to like slept with somebody's, wife or something, or maybe he killed somebody and now they're just covering him up or something. I don't know. He's got to be something that harsh to do this to the man.
Oh, I yeah, that it seems that's a good point. It does seem rather strange. And I guess if one something crazy like one of those three examples happened, then okay, maybe I could justify with Konami. And that is a good point. We do need to know more in terms of what happened with their relationship. But yeah, currently with what we know and what Konami is refusing to tell us, yeah, that it really bums me out. And when I saw that, I was just kind of like, ugh, this sucks so bad. But and I don't I as I was describing this to my fiance again, I was not sure if this is correct, but in my mind, the person who started the cinematic trend for video games to become movies, I think it was Kojima, was it not? I mean, it was they had games that were telling stories before Metal Gear Solid. I think that's the one that really started everything off. But it was Kojima's love for movies, because he's a huge movie buff, that led him to make this game with as if it was a movie with cinematic angles, with storytelling similar to what you would see on a big screen in a theater. And at least to me, that's who I accredit everything from that point on, going like Uncharted, like Tomb Raider, all of that in my mind is owed to really Hideo Kojima, to making basically an interactive movie. And I couldn't think of anybody else who maybe did that
I
for him.
can't think of anybody either. So, I mean, I almost think that would be the case, but I have no idea. makes most amount of sense though. So
yeah,
we'll go with that.
Okay. No fact checking on VGCast, so nobody do that. What about anything else in particular? We got a lot on our board here, if you want to call it that. So is there anything else that stood out a lot to you? Could be two things, could be one thing.
I mean, there was a lot of just different debuts and
yeah. Do you want to talk about the Game Awards just in general?
Sure.
All right. So the cat out of the box.
Let's see. What got debuted at the Game Awards?
Well, for start, before we get to the debuts, let's talk about the actual awards themselves. We nailed Game of the Year, right? Witcher 3.
Yeah.
I think we both got that one. I don't remember our exact list. Most anticipated game. I think that actually went to Uncharted 4, which is why they showed that video that they showed, which I don't know. Did you get a chance to go back and watch it?
Which one?
The new one that they showed at the Game Awards.
Where he's talking to his brother or?
That was at PSX.
Okay. No, I haven't seen the other one then.
Okay. The one at the Game Awards wasn't that great. I mean, it showed a new female character who comes in and apparently is an awesome fighter and she's threatening Drake and yada, yada, yada. And then it shows a bunch of stuff we've seen already. But they showed that, I think, because they won the award for most anticipated game. So I think we got that one. Action-adventure game went to Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain. Best sports racing game went to Rocket League. I was surprised about that. We both said, I think we both agreed that was a potential candidate, but we didn't actually expect it to win, did we? I don't remember.
Yeah, not really. No, I'd be happy if it won, and it did win, so I was happy.
Yeah.
But we figured either FIFA or NBA would probably have taken that. Let's see. I think best art direction went to Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah, that one. I think we both agreed that was, if it won, that was the one that probably should have won. But we could have totally seen it go to something like, you know, The Witcher 3. But yeah, I think Ori was probably the right choice because it's a piece of art. So.
And I think Rocket League also won for best independent game as well.
That is true. Yes. And I think we all saw that one coming. I mean, best narrative went to Her Story. I was shocked about that one. I haven't played that game, so I was like, wait, what? Do I need to be playing this game?
Yeah, I heard it's interesting. So
I'd definitely like to try that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was up against The Witcher. I was like, whoa. It beat The Witcher?
I think Her Story is like in like $2.99. $4 or $5 on Steam right now too, so you got a good chance to get it.
That's true.
But the bad thing about it is, I have heard this, is that it's a multiple story ending, and the creator will not tell us what their actual ending is. So, good. Yeah, have fun with that.
If anybody's interested, Her Story, as at least how I have perceived it through hearing things about it and reading and watching things about it, it seems as if you're a detective. And you're tasked with analyzing. I assume she is already in jail, but I think you're maybe trying to see if she's guilty or innocent. Maybe she's just being detained temporarily. But you're analyzing these tapes, I believe. Think of them like VHS tapes of interviews that people have done with her. And you're trying to get to the bottom of her story, which is where the game's name comes from. And the way the story is told through these tapes, I don't think you're allowed to watch all of them. I think you have a small selection throughout the game, and depending on which selections you make, you're allowed to get another selection of tapes. So if you pick C in your first round, you might get three different options than if you chose A in the first round. And I think you're supposed to watch these tapes and listen to her story and form the story, her story, on your own, and into which case you could play the game and I could play the game and somebody else that we know could play the game, and all three of us have three different interpretations of whether or not this person did what she was supposed to have done, or whether she was innocent, or whether this whole story is just crazy. So I think that's how it goes. I could be wrong, though. That sounds right. It sounds like a good explanation for a Her Story game.
That sounds pretty good. Sounds accurate.
And she won, the actress also won Best Voice against Mark Hamill for the Joker, who I personally believe Mark Hamill should have won that. What do you think? Who do you think should have won?
I don't know, because technically you probably should have punished Mark Hamill for being in a game that's broken. So
it's not his fault.
Well, he's still in a broken game. So, I mean, maybe a lot of people didn't even get the chance to hear him as the Joker because it was a broken game. Honestly, I really don't know who could have won that one. That was a toss-up between, actually, between him, probably the character, the voice actor that did Geralt in Witcher 3. True. That would have been a nice one, too.
That's true.
But a lot of people liked her story. I mean, and you actually saw her, so that kind of helps also.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a video where she, it's a game where she's actually in the game, technically. So, might as well, she should have won.
I do got to say that Mark Hamill doing his Joker impression on stage was pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's always amazing.
Yeah.
Even though he'll keep saying now and forever, he will stop.
Splatoon?
It doesn't work.
Splatoon won best multiplayer.
Big surprise. It also won best shooter.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, big surprise from Splatoon. They won best multiplayer game and best shooter with stuff like Halo 5, Destiny, Call of Duty, Black Ops, and Star Wars Battlefront in the mix as well. So
that's crazy.
You know. And Nintendo actually won for best family game with Mario Maker. So
yeah,
look at Nintendo making headway.
After those initial wins, when it got towards the Game of the Year award, I was like, this could actually happen. Mario Maker could actually win Game of the Year. And it did not. I think Witcher 3 definitely should have won that. But at that point, I was like, holy cow. Someone actually might have voted for Super Mario Maker, or a collection of people may have. Because, like you just said, the collection of AAA titles that Splatoon just went up against, most of those multi-platform titles, all of them except for Halo, I think. That's pretty impressive for a new IP from Nintendo going into a shooter space that is dominated by AAA games. That's pretty impressive. Now, what that does going forward for Nintendo and the Splatoon series, I don't really know. Maybe not much, but I think we both agreed that it probably could win. We didn't think it was going to win, but we would not be shocked if it had won. And there it is. Best multiplayer. And you said best shooter, right?
Yeah, best shooter and best multiplayer, and I think the only other main award, well, we didn't even talk about the fighting, but Mortal Kombat X1 fighting, of course.
Yeah.
Another surprise was that Tomb Raider's, Lara Croft Go won best mobile handheld game, and I almost thought that was going to go to Fallout Shelter, but went to Lara Croft Go, whatever that is.
I don't think Fallout won a single game, did it? Or award.
Well, I mean, so, wait, who won? Was it Konami or Kojima Productions that won best
developer?
Yeah,
that was actually CD Projekt Red.
Oh, that's right. CD Projekt Red actually won. So yeah, no, Fallout didn't win a single thing, and it probably is justified because, you know, it came out a little too late in the game, and a lot of people weren't. A lot of people aren't thrilled about Fallout 4 as, you know, as it should be, I guess. But some people I've heard it, you know, saying it's not as good or as good as like Skyrim. And
I've heard that too.
And New Vegas as well. I'm like, ooh, wow, really? Giving it comparisons to New Vegas and Skyrim, huh? I mean, it's got its problems and it's not perfect.
Well, I can tell you this. I've certainly made it much farther in Fallout 4 than I've ever made it in any other Fallout game. So,
I mean, you know, it's each their own. So, who knows?
All right. Well, let's that about wraps it up for the awards. We covered the big ones. How about the premieres? You want to talk about the premieres? I know there was one in particular that stood out to me.
Well, go first. You do.
Far Cry Primal. Holy cow.
Dang it, you took my... Oh,
that's all right, you can talk about it too, man. I'm not a big Far Cry fan because I feel like they've just been beating a dead horse. Now, Blood Dragon was awesome. I'm so glad Ubisoft allowed that development team to make that game. I think that was great. And I think the same thing happened with Primal, that someone was like, look, we can make this game without all this nonsense story going on about superpowers and brothers stranded and young teenagers, you know, none of that stuff. Let's just do it primal, like Native Americans, I guess. I don't think they're really Native Americans, right? They're just ancient man.
Almost caveman.
Yeah, almost caveman. And watching that trailer, I was like, oh my God, you can control a tiger? Wait, you can control a bear and wolves? Like, holy crap. And it was, oh my gosh, it was, go ahead, you talk about it.
After that, I guess mediocre release of Far Cry 4, it was good, but it was almost a rehash of Far Cry 3. And Far Cry 3 just had more interest, had more interesting characters in it. Far Cry 4 did not really have a lot of interesting characters besides Pagan Min. Pagan Min was the only thing, and he still wasn't as crazy as Voss from Far Cry 3.
Right.
So, you know, they needed to kind of step back and go a different route, and they decided to go just completely and utterly primal, and this is what we get. I was excited about it when they first announced it, like, months ago. I was like, okay, Far Cry Primal. I like to see what they're going to do with that. And now after they've shown some video for it and there have been some gameplay footage thrown out there, it's like, oh, wow, you're controlling animals. Okay, you sold me. You're controlling animals. That's awesome. Controlling a bear, a wolf, saber-tooth tiger. You got an owl that you're freaking guiding around, marking enemies and attacking them and stuff like that. That's looking amazing. And you're using primal weapons. You're using, like, spears, and of course you're going to use a bow. For some reason, Far Cry cannot get away from using a bow. You got to use a bow in every Far Cry game. But spears, bows, like rocks with rocks tied around a stick. You know, it's looking awesome, and just gives me some kind of. It's not full chills, but it's like, man, this looks amazing. I can't wait to play it. You know, that's the kind of feeling that you want to have with a game. You can't wait to play a game when you see it.
And what's so strange about this is I was watching it and thinking, wow, I haven't seen anything like this. And then I saw the trailer for Wild at the PlayStation Experience later. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But the whole experience as a whole. But I saw Wild and I was like, whoa, is this the new craze? Is this like zombies instead? Instead of zombies, now we're going primal.
Yeah.
I mean, that game looks pretty cool as well. I don't think it has quite the bombastic luster that Far Cry Primal has. It looks like it's going to be a little bit tighter of a game. Far Cry Primal will be. Wild will be a bit more exploratory, I would imagine. But yeah, dude, I was watching that and I was like, whoa. I'm excited for Far Cry. This is the year. This is the year I bought a Call of Duty game. I bought a Fallout game and am enjoying it, and I'm excited for Far Cry. What is going on?
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
And I didn't buy Battlefront or Halo. This is so strange.
Yeah, what is wrong with you? you seem to have some issues right now that you need to be going through.
And, well, there was one other premiere that I wasn't too thrilled about. You may disagree with me because you're a bit more of a Telltale fan than I am. Batman Telltale series.
Oh, yeah, Batman.
So you're excited about this one?
We'll see, because, I mean,
you haven't seen much.
If they do like how they're doing with Minecraft, where they're putting those episodes out really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, it's weeks, and then, oh, here's episode 3. Here's episode 2. I think they're about a month apart for those episode releases for Minecraft. So this could be a big deal. And I just want to see how they're going to do it. I mean, are you going to be Batman all the time? Or are you one of his sidekicks? Or are you Bruce Wayne or anything like that? I got to see how they're going to do it. Like, what story are they taking this from? Right now, all we know is that Batman's coming to a Telltale game. And that's awesome.
I really hope that they can capture, and you've said this actually in the last episode that we did, that the Tales of the Borderlands series has kind of recaptured the magic in the bottle that was the first Walking Dead game by Telltale that really caught everybody by surprise. And so your comments about that, it kind of gives me hope, because I think Batman could be in a really interesting setting for a Telltale game like this. It is dark. It's weird. They have some very sinister people in there. So I think it could carry the same weight that something like, I mean, just imagine if they handled the killing of Barbara Gordon, you know, that would be really fascinating. Or is it Death in the Family, which is Robin being killed? Well, not.
Yeah, Definite Family's Robin.
Yeah, that would be really interesting if they did either of those two stories. So, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of other stories that they could do with the Batman universe, but just thinking about that stuff, like the sacrifices Batman has had to endure could be really fascinating if they even go the Batman route. Because, I mean, was it confirmed that it was Batman or was it just Gotham? Or
it's Batman.
It is Batman? Okay.
Yeah, it's Batman. It's Batman. Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's Batman.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it'd be interesting on what stories they actually decide to go through with that. But, yeah, besides Batman, they also showed off some Michonne stuff for Telltale as well, which is just another way of saying we have some filler before Walking Dead Season 3, if there is going to be a Season 3. So, wasn't really too excited about that. I was just like, okay, I figured it was, they announced that back in E3, I believe, that there was going to be a Michonne section for Walking Dead, but now they just showed like a little trailer for it and everything. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
What else did they show?
They Rock Band VR. What do you think about that?
Okay. The problem with anything VR is that it does not show well.
That's true.
In a conference type setting or anything like that. I mean, we'll talk about it later with PSX as well, but they showed off a couple VR games and they don't translate well from screen to screen to screen, because you're like watching somebody play it. You're watching somebody stand around watching another game, you know, playing it somewhat. So yeah, it's gotta be one of those things where you gotta get the VR in your hands or in your face or whatever and see how well that goes.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. I think the idea is really strong, and I think it could totally breathe new life into the Rock Band and Guitar Hero license and properties. The thing, though, is you already look ridiculous enough with those fake guitars and those fake microphones and those fake drum sets. Now you're going to strap on a headset, and your gamers are going to play with wires sticking out of the back of their heads, and I guess the controllers will be wireless, but yeah, I mean, this is going to get a little ridiculous, I think.
A little bit.
I can totally see the, you remember when the Wii first came out and there were all these crazy YouTube videos and reports of people throwing their controllers into their televisions? I can really see that.
It's not good when you start missing Wiis and stuff too.
I don't know. I think it could be. I'd like to demo it and see what I think about it. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind demoing it, but you know, you got to be able to demo it to see how it's going to play. That's all.
It's not something that's going to make me want to go, yes, I need VR for this game personally. That's not me. Now, someone who's a big Guitar Hero, Rock Band fan, maybe. I think I personally wanted to see the graphics a little better, and I know that's a silly argument for a Guitar Hero game, but if I'm going to be in this Rock Band world, this VR world, playing on stage, I think it's a little off-putting, and I can verify that a little later as a teaser for VR. It's a little off-putting seeing those cheesy graphics and trying to believe that you're in this setting. So I would have liked to see it a little more realistic, and that's probably really difficult to do adding in the VR issue. So, but yeah, that was another thing that I was like, but granted, it has me a lot more excited than Rock Band Live or Guitar Hero Live or whatever they're called this year. So I have no interest to play those games. But VR, I'd definitely give it a shot.
Well, I mean, the only problem with that is that you're going to be spending a lot of money. You got to get the VR set. Then you got to get the instruments. You know, that's a big chunk of change to invest into a game.
That's a good point that you're kind of alluding to there. Is Rock Band VR a separate purchase from the latest Rock Band game, or is a downloadable patch? Does all the music transfer over to VR? Like, is this a separate purchase? Like, how are they going to handle that? I don't think we.
I mean, I would think that it's going to be the same game. It's just still be like a downloadable patch or something, or maybe it's already in the game where you can actually have VR attachment to it or something like that. You know, they just have to, like you said, they got to download the patch to make the button appear or something. But that's only good for people that actually have Rock Band right now. Like, if you don't have Rock Band for this year, you know, you're going to have to buy Rock Band. You're going to have to buy the instruments again if you never even had the instruments. And then you're going to have to get a VR set on top of that, too.
Ooh.
And VR is not going to be – VR is like a whole other console.
You know what you could buy with that much money?
Another console.
A whole band PS4. Set.
or you can just get tickets to an actual band and watch that. You
can get a drum set for a few $100. You can get a guitar for a couple $100. Yeah, you could get an actual band together.
Or do karaoke. You know, you could do that for a good bit for that much money. Yeah. I don't know. Some other things that got shown off. There was a new Quantum Break trailer.
That's true.
Didn't watch it, actually. So
I got to see it.
Yeah, how was it?
The game, I think, it's gotten a lot of flack for being another arena shooter, which I don't understand because Uncharted doesn't get that flack. Tomb Raider doesn't get that flack. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many games that are – and what I mean by arena shooter is the character runs into a large-scale room, essentially, and you can tell that there's – things to hide behind, so there's going to be a couple of waves of enemies. And I've been playing a lot of Uncharted. That's what that game is. That is what Tomb Raider is, and those are great games. So I don't understand why Quantum Break is getting some backlash for that. But personally, I think it looks good. I think the game shows pretty well. I'm more curious as how this TV thing is going to affect it. But I'm excited. I think the whole time warp, the video kind of alluded to his Bruce Banner-esque adoption, I guess would be a better word, to his abilities. It definitely looks like how Bruce Banner got his abilities. It looks like some sort of gamma ray blast. Granted, it wasn't green or anything like I think they typically show for Banner. But yeah, it definitely looked like he gets some scientific experiment where he's trying to save someone and he gets blasted with energy. They show that for a little bit. And they show some more gameplay stuff. But I mean, I think it looks pretty solid. I like the actor who's playing the main guy, and every time they show this game, it makes me want to play. I want to play this game. So, I mean, yeah, it looks like Uncharted with time control and a TV show going on along with it. And that's not a bad thing. So I'm actually excited for it. I think it showed well again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely sold on the television thing because it just doesn't seem to work out too well. Like, I think that show Defiance was another one of those things where it was a sci-fi show, but it was also a game at the same time.
Yeah, that shit got cut quick.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how that's going to play out.
I don't want to write the TV show off without seeing it. And I agree exactly with what you're saying. It makes me nervous, like I said earlier. But the thing I keep relating to, and I do this for video game movies as a whole, but there was a time when comic book movies were god awful. And
yeah,
every time they announced a new one, we were like, great, how bad is this one going to be? They're ruining our favorite thing. And it turned itself around. They finally got it. You know, a lot of that credit goes to Marvel, and then other studios have kind of fallen suit. And I'm hoping something like this can happen with Quantum Break, or at least in our future relatively soon, that there can be a video game based television show that maybe ties into a game, and it's actually pretty cool because I think it's an interesting idea. But yeah, I'm with you there. It's it definitely has me a little worried. I don't want it to be cheesy.
yeah let's see, the only other things were like snippets of stuff. Rocket League is finally coming to Xbox One, but the sad thing is that there's not going to be cross-platform for the Xbox One version, so no playing with the PC, which is weird.
It's very
playing
weird
with PC. It's like, really?
Yeah.
The one thing that we probably would play with is the PC. I know we wouldn't be cross-platform with Sony, but to not be able to play with a PC player is kind of odd.
The only thing that I can think is preventing that is the fact that the game is already network linked together to allow PC players to play with PS4 players.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's somehow the only thing. Yeah, I think somehow in the network code there must be problems that it's not compatible with adding the Xbox Live infrastructure. And I guess in order to fix it, with my very, very amateur coding experience, I would guess that in order to fix it, quote unquote, you just have to make a new client that is that is somehow compatible with PS4 and Xbox One, which would be super difficult, and I don't think anybody wants to go through with that. So,
yeah, probably not. It'd probably be better just to just not do it and just. I'm wondering if it's almost, well, it's going to be worth it to bring Rocket League to Xbox One.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're actually bringing like two unique vehicles with a Halo's inspired vehicle and a Gears of War type car as well. So that'll be interesting.
And that trend will probably continue. It's a trend that I see on Rocket League now. On, you know, they have all kinds of cars constantly being brought in there, and And any game like this that gets brought to other platforms, it's a total plus. It's a fantastic game. And I was already talking to a buddy of mine who he and I both just bought a PlayStation 4, and we both bought Rocket League to play with another friend who's had a PS4 for a long time. And it's that same day we were both like, so here's the dilemma. Do we buy Rocket League again so that we can play with our Xbox friends? And we were both kind of like, as long as it's under $10, I think we can do that. So
yeah,
I think we'll end up buying that game twice because it's pretty fantastic. So yeah, Rocket League. And along those weird indie lines, there was another cult hit that got announced, Psychonauts 2.
I thought you were going to say something completely different. But yeah, Psychonauts 2 got announced, which they're doing it crowdfunding style. So
yeah, it's a new crowdfunding thing that Tim Schafer?
Yeah, it's Tim Schafer.
What did he say? That the people who help fund the game actually get a percentage back based on how many sales the game gets or something like that? So it's not Kickstarter. They're not doing Kickstarter again like they've done for the previous projects. But yeah, it's coming back.
It's almost basically like just investing in a company and just getting stock back from it.
That's a good way, yeah.
Like just getting stock from it. That's all it is. It's a very small percentage compared to stock prices, but still, it's something. It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with this thing that got announced as well, but Shadow Complex is coming back as well.
Yeah, I was really jazzed when I saw that announcement, and then I realized it's not a remaster. That's such baloney. They're just trying to make an extra buck, and that really bums me out. Granted, that game is awesome, and maybe these extra bucks or three will help them to make a sequel, but it's totally...
Isn't it free right now, though?
It is free. It's so strange.
They're not making any money.
Everybody with a PC can run this game. I guarantee it. If the 360 could run this old arcade game, which not to bash the 360 because it had Halo 4, which I think was one of the prettiest looking games on that console, but Shadow Complex wasn't exactly the prettiest looking game on the planet when it came out. So anybody with a PC can probably run this game. So you could get this game real cheap, plug in your Xbox or PS4 controller, and you're good to go. I highly recommend it because, like you said, it's free. Yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, a full remaster or a sequel. And no, it's not really. It's just they're just going to display it in 1080p and maybe 60 yeah. frames per second. But it doesn't really matter on that type of game. It's a side-scroller that isn't... It's not a side-scroller in the same sense as, like, the Super Mario games. And the Super Mario games running on 60 frames per second is pretty... critical for those games, and they've done it for a very long time. So
it's like Contra.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't really need it's pretty, 30 frames per second is fine for Shadow Complex.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need like super high intense graphics for it, honestly.
No.
It would be nice, but you know, we'll take what we can get. And I think that was it for the video game awards.
I think that's about it. Yeah, I think that's
I think everything else was just I think everything else that we'll talk about was also shown at PSX as well. Right. Or was just at PSX, so I mean, I think that was it. Well, there is a sequel coming out to a video game that no one played a long time ago, starring a certain basketball player.
Oh, Shaq Fu.
That's right. Yeah, we're getting Shaq Fu 2, or actually, it's not even Shaq Fu 2, it's a remake.
That's true.
So, yeah, something everybody's been wondering about. Next up, Windy City Jam from Michael Jordan. We're going to get that in remaster as well, or if Charles Barkley had a game, we'll get that too. So,
strange. Great. We're getting Final Fantasy VII Remake. The Last Guardian is actually coming out. Shenmue 3 is supposedly coming out, and we're getting a Shaq Fu remake. Yeah. What's going on?
Great. Out of all those things, there's only one of them that should not belong on that list. And that Last Guardian, you don't belong. No, I'm just kidding. Shaq Fu.
And I mean, if you want to add Psychonauts in there, to be honest, I never thought Psychonauts would get a sequel.
Yeah, people wanted a Psychonauts sequel, and now they're getting it.
But it seems like there were like five people. And not to bash the game, I think the game was great. It did not sell very well. It sold horribly. And I remember reading the reports a long time ago in monthly magazines about how the game did so horribly bad sales-wise, but was critically acclaimed. And so I just never expected that type of game to get a sequel, but I guess the infrastructure and the ecosystem of crowdfunding these days can help those types of games get funded.
That, I mean, it might have been just the case where the people that liked the game didn't really voice their opinions about it too much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it, like you said, it was a critical darling. It may not have sold well, but it most of the critics loved that game,
right?
So, and they pretty much love what Tim Schafer does with Double Fine. So it was bound to happen, maybe, but now it's actually going to happen. So that's kind of cool. It's cool that we're getting games like this coming back or getting a sequel made. And hopefully, you know, just throwing it out there, Skies of Arcadia, get a sequel made. Do it.
Yes. God, that, yes.
Let's do it.
I will crowdfund that myself.
Yeah. Okay, don't go that far. You'll bankrupt yourself, probably.
Yeah, for sure. I probably will. The last two things I want to touch on the Game Awards, and we'll move quickly into the PlayStation experience. I want to commend Greg Miller and what he said. I thought that was pretty awesome. He even went up there and he was like, look, Jeff Keighley, this is good. I'll try and keep this short, but, and he just goes off on this really awesome little tangent about how amazing the Game Awards are, how amazing the gaming industry is, and just thanking gamers in general for allowing this type of thing to continue thriving. And then the second thing was the Satoru Iwata tribute. Yes, I think it could have been a little more touching than what it was, than just a slideshow of pictures. Regardless, I love that they at least acknowledged it, and they had that little performance for him, as well as a performance for Hideo Kojima as well. But
yeah, they did do cool. since Konami won, they also won. Metal Gear Solid won for best soundtrack. They did Quiet Song as well during that as well. That was nice. That was really nice.
Yeah,
and you're right. They should have did a little bit something for the former president of Nintendo, but I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm coming from as well. Like,
you take what you can get.
Exactly.
So
yeah. So I agree. I think it should have been, there should have been some more substance there. But I mean, I'm not gonna like be like, oh, you guys suck, because that's the best that you could come up with. Even the notion of saying anything, I think, is really awesome and respectful. So, especially, I think the Reggie Fils-Aimé part when he was talking about it hit a little more powerfully than the actual slideshow. So. But yeah, I thought those are cool. So let's just go right into the PlayStation experience. I know you caught on just a touch late, so I'm just going to cover Uncharted 4 real quick. They didn't show a whole lot. I think you've watched the video by now, have you?
Yeah, I watched the video where they show that he has choice now.
I guess. BioWare style. That's right. Witcher style. I think that was really cool. What do you think about the choice? I don't really know how it's going to work.
I don't know how it's going to work, because the way they form that choice thing, it's like, well, any of those things he chose to say would have led into what he got next to scene.
Right.
So it could have just started it differently. It's like, oh yeah, I found Shambhala, or I found this tower in the middle of the desert, or, you know, I found El Dorado. It's like, well, that just shows that they've had to record three different types of dialogue for that. So
yeah, I
don't know how that would have went.
I like that it's given the player a little bit of choice, but I agree 100%. I'm not really sure what's the point if they're all three just going to be the same essential thing, but I'm glad they're doing it. I think the whole video was more to show that it's kind of in engine, their graphics that they're showing, they're real, and good God, does it look pretty. Now, granted, the character models are exceptional, but if you pay attention, you can tell that they've taken some shortcuts on other things. Not to say the game looks ugly by any means. I think it looks beautiful, and your attention is usually on the characters. But I was trying to be like, okay, this can't be real. What did they make shortcuts in? And you can see some things around, like the environments, the 3D models of things on the desks, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, boy, does it look pretty. But not a whole lot, you know, different there. I mean, there was some story stuff I kind of preferred not to have seen, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's the same thing with the one from the Game Awards. I would have preferred to have that moment just shown to me in the game and be like, whoa, who is this lady and why is she so awesome at fighting? But what are you going to do? I guess they're not huge spoilers, and it's not like it's Star Wars. So, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then we got hit with Final Fantasy VII, which we've already talked about. What else? I wanted to talk about Rez for just a second. What the hell was going on with that VR thing? I think it looks cool, but there was like a 3D model of a person in the center. And so I couldn't tell if, like, are you supposed to be that character, or are you going to see this man flying beneath you? Because I kind of wanted to be first person.
Oh, Remember what I said? VR doesn't translate well. It doesn't. It still doesn't. It doesn't even during PlayStation experience. It still doesn't translate.
And then there's this weird guy on stage, looks like Daft Punk, and he's just like doing some weird things. It doesn't even look like he's really playing the game because it just looks like a stage demo. And by stage demo, I mean not a demo on stage. I mean it's completely fabricated.
Someone's playing it in the background.
Yeah, probably not even that. It's probably pre-recorded. You know, yeah. But yeah, like, exactly. It didn't even look like this guy was really playing it. And then he takes his helmet off, and I'm pretty sure that's the creator of the original Rez. And I was like, and then he just walks off stage. I was like, what? Okay. That was really, it was really strange to me. But I mean, hey, Rez is an awesome game. I'm glad they're bringing it back in VR. I think it could be cool. I think it could be totally cool. But I didn't know what the hell was going on with that. I was like, this should be first person. Why do I see a man floating beneath me? So that was strange.
That's the one thing that kind of threw me off. It's like, well, I mean, shouldn't you be that person right there? Yeah. Why is he floating? Okay, well, whatever. You know, well, we'll figure that out eventually.
You want to keep the VR train going?
Do we need to? What else was announced?
Psychonauts VR?
Besides. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
Everybody's getting on this. Yeah, I don't know either. They didn't show anything. So, I mean, other than the Psychonaut dude putting on a VR headset and then jumping up in the air, and that's it. They just announced there's going to be VR. There's going to be a VR version of a Psychonauts game that's VR. So that's about it. That's all they really announced for that. They didn't really show anything or anything like that.
The cool one was Ace Combat 7, I think. That one I was like, okay, this is a game I could totally see in VR. I could definitely – this would be really cool.
Most flight sims or space sims will be awesome in VR, and they're actually bringing back Ace Combat. It's not the bigger story. The bigger story is that it's going to be in VR, but the fact that they're bringing back Ace Combat, which I don't know when's the last time an Ace Combat game was made. So it's actually pretty cool that they're wanting to go back and revisit some old stuff. I'm going to tell you, if we see a Jet Moto VR, that'd be pretty awesome as well.
Let's see. Gollum, the developers, ex-developers from the Destiny and Halo teams. It's a VR game for PlayStation. Don't really know much about it. It looks like you're controlling a golem and knocking things over.
Yep, pretty much.
So, I mean, it could be cool for, you know, an hour or so. It was all CG, so we didn't really see a whole lot there. But, I mean, it could be fun. It reminded me a little bit. It doesn't remind me at all of this, but it makes me think of this. Rampage, you remember that old game? The side-scroller where you beat up buildings as monsters? It reminded me of that. I just want to run around as a golem in VR and just break stuff. That'd be awesome. So,
yeah, I guess that'd be awesome. I mean, it could be awesome, but I don't know. It's just one of those things that doesn't seem to translate well as well with VR again. So, I mean, are you the girl? Are you the golem? Is the girl supposed to be what you're supposed to be doing as the golem, or is it a connecting story between the girl, the golem, and you? You know, it's just VR. It's VR. It's tricky. It's tricky to advertise VR.
I think that was mostly it for
VR.
Oh, there was the Eagle game, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah, awesome. You can fly around as an eagle.
Well, that's exactly what I want to do with VR. I want to look like I'm up in space and getting vertigo. Not that I normally get vertigo, but I've been skydiving before, and I don't know. I've heard the reports in VR when people fall in VR, like their character glitches and they fall. Yeah, it's pretty disturbing. So I don't know if I want to play that game.
Freak out?
Yes, they do.
you forgot about the most awesome VR experience that they had. With the world's worst zombie taxi driver game.
Oh, my God.
That whole VR segment was like, what am I watching right now?
It was
strange. Am I having a fever dream or something? What in the... Okay, all right. They're really throwing this PlayStation VR thing in our face right now.
Yeah, it was definitely bizarre. I don't think there was much too... there was too much
left. Not as bizarre as Double Fine.
What?
Just throwing in old LucasArts remasters with Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah, right. I think I texted you. I was like, is this a joke?
Yeah, you thought it was a joke. I was like, no. They Double Fine likes doing this. They did Grim Fandango. So, yeah, they like doing this.
There was more bizarre stuff with the Street Fighter V thing. I'm a fan of Street Fighter V. I like Street Fighter. I didn't
presentation for.
Yeah, I didn't really get into Street Fighter 4 that much. I do have it on my PC and I played it a bit, but I liked Third Strike a lot. I liked the Alpha series a lot, and I liked Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Edition Arcade Game of the Year version, whatever it's called.
Long title.
I like that those old school Street Fighter games. The fourth one, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was bad timing. Maybe I've kind of outgrown fighting games, but Street Fighter 5 is pretty. It's interesting to me. I think it's only going to be on PS4 and PC, right? Yep. Yeah, man, that presser for that segment, it was bizarre. I mean, I appreciate the developer being very charismatic and out there with his little fighting gloves to make him look like Ryu and everything. But yeah, I was just like, they're making this huge hoopla over bam, one new character. Like, is this really the announcement?
Well, the fact that, yeah, the one new character, which is strange enough as it is, that character is just, I don't know. I mean, there will be some people out there that'll be playing that character, but that's just not my cup of tea when it comes to characters. I guess the big announcement was three parts. It was a new character. It was the five characters that have already been kind of leaked anyway of coming out as DLC.
That's
well,
right.
Not even DLC. You'll be able to actually either earn them or buy them. So, and I mean, now I love the fact that they're going, that the five characters that they announced are five fan favorites. It's, you know, you got Guile from basic Street Fighter. You have Alex from Third Strike, which a lot of people wanted Alex in this game, and now they're going to get him. So you got Alex. You got Urien, I believe. He was also Third Strike. Ibuki is Third Strike. And I think that there's another. Oh, Juri, who was a recent addition to Street Fighter 4. So you got fan favorites, and the way that you're able to unlock them, you either buy them outright or you earn them in-game with in-game credits. So it's nice. It's, you know, and then the third thing was that there's going to be a Street Fighter League. Basically, and that was a big thing for PlayStation also, just so many leagues, all the leagues, Street Fighter, Call of Duty, just every time a multiplayer game was announced, it's almost like, oh, we have a league for it as well, so.
Yep.
But, yeah, that presser was just, someone's been drinking a lot of coffee.
And then Battleborn came out there, and they made a big hoopla over local screen multiplayer. And I guess that was trying
to
flop.
Did it come out there?
Well, I mean, they came out there to, maybe they weren't on the main stage, but I think they were kind of back in the back. You know where they kept playing Battlefront and stuff at? But yeah, they did come out there and say that Battleborn on PS4 would have local split screen multiplayer, which I think is an attempt to throw some trash in Halo 5's face. Which, I mean, whatever. No one's going to, I don't think Battleborn is going to be that impressive anyway. Let's see. They announced a bunch of PS Vita games, which I was pretty sure Vita was dead. But granted, it's not like they're good Vita games. I mean, okay, they may be good, but it's not like they're anything really new. I think one of those is like Lara Croft Go. They had the Hitman Go game is coming there. And yeah, they had a bunch of weird games that the third party, I guess, lead, the guy who's in charge of rounding up all the third parties, he kept announcing things and pulling the Vita out of his pocket. And I mean, if you got a Vita, you want more things to play. The cross-platform or cross-buy is pretty cool on there. So I guess that's some good news. I'm trying to get through all the BS before we get to the couple that I thought were pretty good to see.
New Yakuza game.
Yes.
With Yakuza 5, which... Is Yakuza... Okay, Yakuza 5 is going to come out to PS3, right?
Yes. And Yakuza 0, which I think is already out in Japan.
It's going to be a remake of, or a prequel to Yakuza. It's coming to PlayStation 4.
Yes. In North America. I think it's already out in Japan.
Yeah, it's already out in Japan. But, yeah, it's coming out in the West. I like the Yakuza series. They're interesting and just... They're something to just play whenever you want to... either interesting or just weird story, because I think Yakuza 4 was, there was like a zombie outbreak in Japan or something like that in the Yakuza universe, so yeah, that going on. So Yakuza 0, it looks good. Like, most of the Yakuza games do tend to look good, so that's interesting to see that Yakuza 0 is finally come out in the Western side. They showed a new Fat Princess game. Great for that. Another MLB The Show.
Yes. And I think the big one...
PS3 and PS4.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were going to release it for PS3 as well.
Yeah. Some Destiny stuff, Sparrow Racing, which is coming to both platforms, and just PS4, or is getting some, you know, additional content, of course.
It's just a limited time thing, I think, is what they were kind of implying, that it's coming to PS4, but it sounded like it was, I think they said a 3-week event, so it's nothing, if you're a Destiny player on Xbox, it does look really cool.
We get it tomorrow, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we get the racing tomorrow, too. It's coming on both platforms. They just get, like, another quest or something.
Okay, well, that's awesome, because I thought it looked really, really fun. And so I was like, well, I really hope this is actually really interesting. So, but, yeah, that's even better if it's coming to both platforms. So that's good.
Oh, we forgot another VR game.
What?
Robot Golf.
Oh, I'm not going to... I think that was VR as well, but it could also be played outside of VR. That game does look badass, I'm not going to lie.
it looks fun. It looks fun. The only other things...
let's talk about the big JRPG in the room. The other big JRPG.
No, I know what you mean. Ni No Kuni 2.
Yes. Oh, you hit it nail on the head, man, when you said it looks like a Studio Ghibli film. Good God. Well,
the bad thing is that it is, because most of the animators that did Ni No Kuni and do Ni No Kuni 2 are from Studio Ghibli. So, yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it looks, woo, that thing looks pretty.
Oh, my God, it looks amazing. I tried to play Ni No Kuni 1, and it just wasn't clicking with me.
Agreed.
I'm not a big fan of those, like, you're not fighting your own battles, you're kind of getting other things to fight your own battles, but you're still there anyway type deals. I want this one to be, like, an actual JRPG, like, maybe not the little prince that's in the trailer fighting his battles, but the guy, but, you know, he's got guys that'll do his battles and stuff for him. You know, he's not even in the screen or anything like that, you know? He's waiting in the background or something like that. Yeah. Or if he is fighting, you know, put him in there and he's actually got some abilities and stuff like that. Like, we didn't see anything too weird in Ni No Kuni 2 trailer, but it looked amazing. Like, I just wanted to sit there and, is there going to be a movie of this? Can I just watch this instead of playing it? Like, it's one of those things where I'd love to just sit and watch someone else play it. Like, I'm pretty sure my girlfriend would probably love to play this game. Just from the visuals alone, I'll just love to just sit behind her and just watch it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. This could be maybe the first game that I watch completely on YouTube or Twitch, because I agree. The first one, it didn't really click with me either. I'm kind of in the same boat as you, but I take nothing away from that game. That's one of those games where I understand why it's getting so much praise. It's just not, it wasn't personally for me. This game looks like it may be kind of along that same boat, that I can totally see this game being fantastic and being a visual masterpiece, but maybe still not being a game for me. But again, not taking anything away from that series, because I agree, it looks fantastic. And that is I don't think this is going to do much damage in terms of sales or anything like that, if you want to talk about the console wars, but it is a PS4 exclusive. I think the first one was a PS3 exclusive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so right along those lines. So I think it's probably huge in Japan, which, I mean, not that there's a contest in Japan over which console is selling more, but in terms of the Western release, I don't see it, the fact that it's a PS4 exclusive, I don't see that being a big deal. I don't see how this game would be a high seller, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Speaking of something else that looked visually gorgeous, Ratchet and Clank for PS4.
Yeah, I'm super jazzed about that game. I'm not so jazzed about the movie, and I'll probably go see it because I'm really hoping it's the first video game movie that makes it that actually is worth a hell. I think it has the potion to succeed, which is it's kid oriented. It's not, you know, Assassin's Creed the movie. It's not Call of Duty the movie. It's not World of Warcraft the movie, which that was fairly impressive as well, just watching that trailer, but it has something that I think they can market to not only gamers, but to kids and parents to take their kids to it. So I'm hoping this one is the first one. And it has the comedy. And you know comedy makes kids movies. And I think it could work on paper, but I am more excited for the game. Yes, like you mentioned.
Well, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the game is just going to be a remaster, basically, of the first game, right?
They initially announced it a while back as a remaster, but they've since positioned it as a complete remake. So way the developer has been describing it is that it is the first game told over, but it is told in a bit of a different way with new elements and new stuff and new story elements, that kind of thing, in conjunction with the movie. So they're going to go, from what I could tell for the demo, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, it looked like the cutscenes were probably from the movie, if I had to guess. I don't think those are from the game. I think those are actually from the movie.
I don't know, man. It could be both. It could be like a mixture. It could be like you could see that scene in the game, but you could also probably see that scene in the movie as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think they're actually going to be doing. I think the movie is the first game, which is what the new game is. And I know this may sound a lot really confusing to people listening, but essentially they're remaking the first game. And at the same time they've been doing this, they've been prepping a movie that tells essentially the same story. So if you have kids or family members who want to see this, who maybe don't have access to the game, there you go. You have a really interesting, funny set of characters that tells a unique and interesting story that everybody can laugh to and have a good time with, as well as having a game that ties in. Yet the game, I think, is more important. I think it's more important for Sony because this is Ratchet and Clank. This has been their baby for a long time. Talk about a game that, or a series that had been critically acclaimed. I mean, I think they had one or two little bumps in the road for like a Vita game or something like that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this is a series that's been pretty spot on. So,
yeah, I think once they like tried to go with the multiplayer aspect of Ratchet and Clank, it kind of lost its way a little bit just by tossing in four-player co-op and stuff like that, but most of them have been solid titles, and it just makes me wonder, like, what else could they be thinking about bringing back? I mean, could they bring back Jack and Daxter?
Ooh.
Yes. I mean, I'm wondering, would they go with how goofy Jack and Daxter 1 was, or will they go, like, how gritty Jack and Daxter 2 and 3 were getting?
Ooh, 3 was pretty gritty. I don't think that's ever going to happen, just a side note on that, because I think Sony has Naughty Dog on lockdown for Last of Us sequels and Uncharted. So,
hey, you never know. Naughty Dog may have a splinter group out there that may actually do it. So yeah. You never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
let's wrap up the PlayStation Experience talk. Is that okay with you? We get to what we've been playing?
Yeah. Was there anything else for the PlayStation Experience?
I think that was it, actually. Yeah.
You know, they did have one last game they showed at the very end.
Oh.
Like, why was that the last game?
Another MOBA, and it was just a CG trailer. Like, come on.
Why would you end your PlayStation Experience with freaking Paragon?
Right, I totally agree. They should have ended it with Final Fantasy VII, put Uncharted up there first, put that game up there next, continue on with the same layout, that's fine, and then end with Final Fantasy VII gameplay. Yeah, you would have blown up the internet.
I would have been happy with freaking Ratchet and Clank ending it, or, I mean, hell, Don't Starve Together. Just end it with that or something like that. But freaking Paragon, another MOBA?
Yeah.
That doesn't even look all that good either. It's like,
It just looks like a MOBA. If you showed me that trailer, I would be like, and I had no idea what the name of the game was, but if you showed me that trailer, I'd be like, oh, is that League of Legends? No? Oh, it must be Dota. Oh, it's not Dota? That's got to be Heroes of the Storm, right? Those are Warcraft characters. No? Yeah, I would have no idea what MOBA that was from. So.
Yeah, or not even care. I mean, even if you knew it wasn't from any of the big ones, you would be like, who cares?
Yeah. I think we're getting,
what is this?
I think we're going to be flooded with MOBAs and whatever you want to call these free-to-play shooters that are coming out.
The only way Epic Games could have made a big splash with a MOBA if it was going to be a Gears of War type MOBA, and that wasn't going to happen. So, yeah, no. You skip it, honestly. Just whatever. It's a MOBA. It shouldn't have ended PlayStation Experience with just a MOBA. Hell, it could have been at least a PlayStation, like, All-Stars type MOBA or something like that. You never... It's something. Something that actually would have given you the Sony brand, but nope. Epic Games.
All right, well, let's transition completely off of the news and jump into our GameCube. So, Troy, what you been playing, man?
Rainbow Six.
Ooh.
Vegas. Or not Rainbow Six, Vegas. Although it does come with both of them. It did come with Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2. Rainbow Six Siege. Been playing a lot of Rainbow Six Siege.
Matchmaking working?
For the most part. There are a little there are some hiccups that it will take some time to find a game sometimes, but for the most part, it works 85% of the time. That you'll get into a lobby and you'll get into a game that's either in progress or a game that's about, you know, that's finding matchmaking. So it's not bad. It could be a lot better. It's a fun little game. Just for multiplayer only, it is a fun game.
Does it have any single player?
They have like little, like they have the thing called situations that give you like, I think 10 missions, then a bonus 11th mission that gives you some one-on-one time with some of the operators in the game, and they'll just teach you some of the things that you're going to be learning about in the game, like hostage takeovers or defusing the bombs or some sort of, like almost a terrorist hunt and things like that. And you can also do terrorist hunt single player, which, you know, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But it's hard on the realistic difficulties. But normal, it's kind of like the AI is kind of stupid. Same with the situations. The AI is not really all that bright on realistic, but they will kill you with enough shots. And normal, it's kind of a cakewalk.
Okay.
So the AI issue is kind of bad. But the real meat and potatoes comes from the freaking multiplayer of the game.
Is this like Payday 2? Because I asked that because it seems like it would be difficult if you don't have a good squad with you or if you don't have communications on lock. Is that what it seems like?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You try and go lone wolf if you want to. Sometimes you can get away with not everybody having a mic. That should be fine. But if it's 5-on-5, so if three of you don't have a mic, you're probably going to end up losing.
Hmm.
And I'm surprised that there's a lot of people out there that don't have a mic. It's just kind of surprising, but yeah, either they don't want to plug it in or, you know, maybe they only use the Kinect as a mic, you know, something like that. But yeah, if three of you have a mic, it's fine. But if less than three have a mic, it's going to be harder. I mean, it's already hard. It is a very tactically minded game. So if you're a running gunner, this is not the game for you, honestly. I've seen people do Let's Plays and I've seen people do interviews about this game and they find it boring and not as fun as the action shooters like Call of Duty and stuff like that. The problem with that is that you just want to run and gun. You want to go out and find the enemy when you're supposed to stay put as the defenders and hold down a room or hold down a section of a building so that the people can't get in and disarm your bombs or just take your hostage away or something like that. So it is for those people that don't mind the patience game, because you win out with being patient. The sound is great.
Ooh.
Especially with my Turtle Beaches on. You hear footsteps, explosions coming like yards away. But you're thinking like, oh God, they're coming closer.
That's what I like to hear. I love when sound design is on point.
Oh, it is great. Like sometimes if you're a defender, you'll hear people placing things that are about to blow up behind you or something like that. If you're really quiet enough, you'll hear it. You're like, oh God, that's right behind me. And it'll give you enough chance to move out of the way. Sometimes you don't hear that and it's just the opportunity they need to take you down. So, and the operators that they give you are very interesting and unique. They each have their own little sets of abilities. One guy has thermite, which can blow through the reinforced walls that defenders put up, or another guy uses a sledgehammer to get through walls. You got a guy that drops down body armor for everybody. Another one sets down traps. So they each have their own little unique play styles, and a good mixture of that team that you have is the way to win in that game. Because you can not you earn operators with renown, which you earn by winning in matches or doing the situations and stuff like that. And you just buy them with your renown points. And I think there is some microtransactions, but I think they're only for like cosmetic skins on your guns and stuff. So there's no pay to win button.
That's a plus.
But yeah, exactly. But even if you don't spend any renown, you at least get to play with a recruit. But your best bet is to get renown and get an operator as soon as you can. Hell, you can actually watch the 3 tutorials and get 600 renown, and the first operator is 500 renown. So I mean, you can buy an operator with just watching the tutorials, and you don't even have to watch the tutorials. You can actually skip them.
Ooh.
And you still get the 200 points. So it's like, if you play the beta, if you play the alpha, you know how these tutorials go. Just watch them, hit skip, watch skip, watch skip, and you get 600 points right there.
Hashtag broken.
Yeah, well, you know. They're not even that long. So if you really want to watch them, they're like 2.5 minutes at the most. So, and the only other thing that stood out for me was the opening scene, the opening little trailer with Angela Bassett talking to you looked amazing.
Ooh,
I wish I could say the same for the rest of the game, but you know,
are the graphics not that good?
They're okay. They're great. They're good.
They're good enough.
Yeah. The arterial spray of the blood, when you shoot somebody, it'll show up on the walls and on the ground and stuff. It's kind of, you know, it makes you feel like, oh God, this is real. Like, you know, these people are coming to kill me, and I had to kill somebody. So, like I said, sound design's pretty great. The buildings are somewhat detailed. Like some of the places that you have to hold up into or break into are kind of detailed, but they could use a little bit more polish to them. Like I said, where this game really shines is the sound. The sound is amazing, from gunshots to explosions to footsteps. You know, if you pick a heavier class, your footsteps are going to be louder. If you pick a lighter class, your footsteps are going to be way quieter. So, all in all, I would say that if you're a gamer that doesn't mind waiting a little bit, it's a perfectly sound game. And even if you don't have friends that will buy the game with you, or, you know, maybe not enough of them will buy the game with you, there's plenty of opportunity for you to find a group that you're good with and you guys stick together. You can do some major work in that game. I guess the one major flaw that they do have is that you get casual play right off the start, but you don't get ranked play until level 25.
That was going to be my next question, if they had any form of ranked play. So they do. You have to level up casually, I guess?
Or you're ranked? Yeah. Okay. I mean, and they give you the opportunity to level up casually pretty quickly.
Hey, I'm actually all for that. If you remember our discussion on Call of Duty, I mean, hey, that's awesome. I'm down with that. That means the ranked players, well, I guess I should ask, once you get to level 25, are you allowed to play casually still?
You should be able to. I would see why not. Okay. In the beta, you were able to play both casual and ranked, so I don't see why you shouldn't. And just ranked just gives you more experience and more renown and everything like that. And like some people put it, the tryhards are in ranked. So,
well, that's cool. It gives you a benefit for playing ranked if you're earning more stuff, rather than if you take Halo, for example, and I haven't played Halo 5, so I'm not sure how it works in Halo 5, but in previous games, you know, you were playing ranked just to play in a virtual league, essentially. You just wanted to get a ranking, a number next to your name. So that, I like that, actually, that if you play in ranked mode, you're encouraged because you get more stuff. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I would say so, but I mean, all in all, like I said, it's a pretty decent game. I can't fault it for what it is.
Yeah.
It's a Rainbow Six game, and it's a multiplayer game that it seems like this is the trend right now. It's just multiplayer games.
Yeah.
No single player, just multiplayer.
It seems like it's a pretty solid competitive multiplayer, I guess you could throw the word co-op shooter in there, which unfortunately I would think is just getting, it's really a bad time for that game to come out because it's probably getting drowned out by Battlefront. Still, Call of Duty, even you could throw Fallout in there and Halo. It's probably just getting washed out because of that. If it maybe came out in like February, that might be a better release date, but yeah, it sounds like it's a pretty solid game for a Rainbow Six game hasn't come out in years, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time since a Rainbow Six game has come out. I think Rainbow Six Vegas 2 was the last Rainbow Six game. On 360, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. If you're getting tired of the other games that are out right now, it would be a good pickup just to have. Like I said, get your friends to play it. Honestly, if whenever it pops up on a Steam sale, and if like the 4-pack or whatever pack however they're going to sell it is cheap enough, it would be a great buy for those people that have a bunch of friends on a certain like PC or something like that to play with.
So, yeah, maybe they're doing Call of Duty or Battlefront on PC and they want to try something else out. That might be a good recommendation.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. About anything else you've been playing?
I tried my hand at because I got Elite Dangerous and during the Steam sale, tried my hand in that a little bit. It's not bad. It's it's Star Citizen. If Star Citizen should ever come out, you know, maybe not the don't really have any of the on the foot sections or anything that Star Citizen is saying that they're going to have, which they did show that video during, I think, Game Awards as well. There's a Star Citizen type video, but it's not bad. It's a very in-depth space sim. So
I've actually tried
to think that you'd like to think if you like to think and you are pretty good with remembering a lot of stuff, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was a big fan of the Star Lancer and then Freelancer games back in the day, especially Freelancer. But yeah, I've actually tried that game out on Xbox One. It's as a beta. I think it was a free beta for a little while, and now it's early access, I think. But, I did get a chance to try it on Xbox One. I don't know if maybe it was not very rounded off yet. It was still pretty jagged in terms of its production quality. I'm not talking about the graphics. I know the graphics here are pretty good. Mm-hmm. It just felt very slow on the Xbox One. And like I said, I don't know how it is on PC. I would imagine the PC version is much further along than the Xbox One, or even if there's a PS4 version, I'm not sure. But I imagine the PC version is probably much further on. But it left something to be desired for me personally, so I have never touched it again. But I'm actually interested to try it, especially after that Star Citizen demo at the Game Awards. Or maybe it was... Yeah, it was the Game Awards.
Yeah, it was the Game Awards.
Yeah, that was pretty spectacular. So I'm glad that...
Oh, yeah, that looked great. I was like, well, I can't wait for this game to come out whenever it does decide to come out. So,
all right, let's see. I have been playing a lot, and I don't think I really have time to talk about them. I was gonna run through them pretty quickly, but we're running pretty long right now, so I'm not. I am gonna list off what I have been playing so that the next episode we do, people know which games I will go over, and I can maybe cover them a little bit more in depth. This makes me chuckle a little bit just looking at this list because I went a little crazy when I got my PS4 for Black Friday. Most of these games are PS4 games, but sales are sales. So, I got Killzone, Infamous Second Son, all of these games, by the way, I have actually tried and played, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, just I want to get a feel for them. And then I made my way down to Uncharted in order to prepare for the Uncharted 4 beta, which that's what I'm going to talk about the most here. But Killzone, Infamous Second Son, Magicka 2, Until Dawn, the horror game. I played a bunch of Rocket League, The Order 1886, aka Rise for PS4, DC Universe Online, which I don't have a lot to say about that. It's a PC game I played a long time ago. It's exactly the same on PS4. Played a little bit of Surgeon Simulator via SharePlay, so you actually got to do co-op in SharePlay. It was pretty fantastic. And then Uncharted 1 and 2 remasters. Woo! Those games are pretty. Even Uncharted 2 today, man, like it could probably go toe to toe with some modern games. I mean, obviously it's a remaster. Bluepoint Games has done a lot of work for those three games. But damn, that opening sequence for Uncharted 2. I mean, going from Uncharted 1 to Uncharted 2, and Uncharted 1 does look pretty now. Not that it never looked pretty before, but it was definitely the inferior to the three, and as it should be, it was the first one that came out. But when you make that jump back to back in Uncharted 2, it's like, whoa, this is pretty. So both of those games, they're awesome. I haven't made it to Uncharted 3 yet. I think there's 26 missions in Uncharted 2. I looked it up because I keep seeing the 2-4 or the 2-2 pop up. I know I'm close to the end, so I looked it up. I think it's 26. and I am somewhere around 24. I know I've beaten 22. I don't know if I made it through 23 yet. So I'm definitely at the end of Uncharted 2. I'll probably be in the middle of Uncharted 3 next time we record. So I'll be able to talk about that remaster as a whole then. But I wanted to get those under my belt and out of the way before the Uncharted 4 multiplayer beta came out, because I wanted to at least not be such a virgin in the Uncharted world when that beta came out. So, wow, the multiplayer is fun in Uncharted 4. Oh, man, I was not expecting it to be anything. The first negative I want to say here, almost every gun is horrible. And Troy, I know you played all three Uncharted games.
Yep.
So I don't know if you remember all the guns, but the FAL, which was the kind of like the three-round burst, is kind of like the battle rifle, which yep. I don't know. You haven't played the remasters yet, so I don't know what they've changed in terms of gunplay. But the FAL in Uncharted 2, it works pretty well. I actually really enjoy using it. The M4 is probably my favorite. The AK is just kind of, if I don't have any ammo, I'll pick that thing up. But these guns are in Uncharted 4's beta as classes, and they may have done this with the multiplayer games of the past, but essentially you get an assault class that has an AK, I think. You have a shotgun class, which they have a special name for it, which is worthless. The shotgun is horrible. Don't even use it. They have, I guess you could call it Ranger mode, or like a Ranger class, which uses the FAL. The FAL is also horrible. They have another one that I think uses like an SMG maybe, and that one's not, or they have a sniper class, and the sniper class isn't bad as long as you are actually competent with sniper rifle. So you got to take that into account. Basically, just pick assault for now if anybody's out there is playing the beta. I think it goes from December 4th, so obviously that was a few days ago, to December 13th, so a little over a week. But the assault class is definitely the way to go. They have all these individual power-ups that you can buy as you kill things. You earn money, or points, rather, if you just want to call them points. And in the game, you hit the D-pad, and you can go to a little store where you can buy El Dorado, for example. The enemies can buy El Dorado. And what I mean by enemies, you essentially have two teams. That's all they gave us, was Team Deathmatch. And Team A is all the heroes from the Uncharted series. So Sully, Drake is in there. His wife, they got married at some point, is one of those characters. What's her name? Is it? I don't remember. Is it Claire? Elena. That might be it. Elena, yeah. But she's in there as one of those playable characters. And Team B is the enemy side. So you get to play as the main villain from the second one, as well as some other guys I don't recognize. They may be from Uncharted 3. That's why. And what I mean by the main villain, I don't mean the big, mean, bald guy from Uncharted 2. I mean the guy who stabbed you in the back at the very beginning of the game when you were in the robbing that place with the stealth missions. That guy. You can play as one of him. So essentially, you have good guys versus bad guys, and you're both just trying to kill each other. That's all you are doing. But the good guys have different special abilities than the bad guys. So the bad guys can pull out El Dorado, for example, from the first game, and it shoots out all these, like, these little beams or ghostly things that turn the good guys crazy if they come near it. The good guys, on the other hand, can buy, essentially, is a very massive support guy, AI-controlled NPC that you can drop in, who has a minigun, and he has a lot of armor, and he has a huge minigun, and you can drop him into an area, and he'll just sit there and mow people down. So that's really cool. But that's not even the best part. The best part is they have this, it's like a grappling hook, kind of like Just Cause 2 and Just Cause 3. Maybe people, if you've played Dying Light had the grappling hook in there as well. Seems to be a trendy thing, but you have this grappling hook that you can launch up into the air. I think the new Assassin's Creed had that, right, Troy? Grappling hook type thing? Yeah. You have that as well, and there's different points around these Uncharted levels that have, it looks like there's rope hanging from them. Imagine in Tomb Raider when you shoot your bow and arrow into these things so that you can jump on the rope and slide down. You shoot your bow into these, they're like pieces of wood with rope around them. It's the same thing here. It's just you shoot your grappling hook into them and you can swing. Now, while you're swinging, you can angle yourself to jump onto different ledges that you might be targeting. Or if there's a player, an enemy player running beneath you, you can press the square button in mid-swing and your character will fly down with his fist pulled back and just punch the dude right into oblivion and kill him. And it's super satisfying. Oh my gosh, it's so satisfying. All of the Uncharted staples are there. You know, if you jump up onto a ledge, which it's very scalable, you can jump on most things and climb most things. And you know how if you climb up on a ledge and an enemy is right there, you can pull him off the ledge and throw him down on the ground. All of that's there. It's very Uncharted-like. The only negative I've seen, number one, were the guns. Number two, matchmaking in the first couple of days was abysmal. But that's something that this is what the beta is for. It's for to iron out specifically these network issues as well as, you know, how the guns are performing, that kind of thing. It runs at, I was shocked at this, it runs at 60 frames per second where the main single player game is going to run at 30. So they've definitely toned the graphics down just a touch, but it still looks pretty and it plays really smooth. The frame rate was rock solid. I had a blast playing it, and if they can iron out those network things and get those guns back in order, I think they have a real solid multiplayer component here to this game that is going to be pretty satisfying. So I'm actually looking forward to the multiplayer, which I was surprised to say. So I've been having a lot of fun with the Uncharted 4 beta, and I was out of town for the last 3 days. Essentially, I was away from my home, so I didn't get to play it that much. I've only played maybe 4 or 5 matches, so I'm hoping throughout the rest of this week I can dive in there and play a bunch more of that. Oh, also, I think we've basically run out of time on this show, so I'm not really going to talk about it, but I got a Google Cardboard VR headset. I teased that earlier in this episode, so I apologize to people out there that maybe picked up on that and now are not going to get to hear it. You'll have to hear it next episode. But it is pretty cool, and I'll talk more about it. I only got it yesterday, so I haven't had a whole lot of time with it, but both myself and my fiance have tried it. So, but yeah, it's Google Cardboard. If anybody doesn't know what that is, you can download the schematics from Google, and you can kind of cut your own if you'd like. Essentially, you just put your phone in this cardboard goggles that have lenses on them, and you can experience kind of pseudo VR. Yeah, I mean, it's VR, but it's not quite the same field of view as Oculus or PlayStation VR. Or you can go to Amazon, and for generally it's around $14 to $20. You can buy a machined-made Google Cardboard set that has the lenses installed that ships to you flat. All you gotta do is pop open the tabs and fold it together, and you're good to go. Just check the customer reviews and the customer questions to make sure your phone fits, because they have many different sizes. But yeah, I just went on Amazon, got one. I just randomly thought of it, and I bought one for about $16. So it's definitely pretty interesting, but I'll be able to talk about that on the next episode, as well as, let's run through this list again, Killzone, Infamous, Second Son, Magic 2, Until Dawn, Rocket League, The Order, DC Universe Online, Surgeon Simulator, and I think that's it. And I'm still playing Fallout 4 and Rise of the Tomb Raider, but I gotta be honest, I don't know if Fallout 4 is gonna make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Have you beat it, Troy?
No.
No?
No.
I don't
know. I play it periodically, but it's
I had just, to. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just too much game. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I do feel a little overwhelmed. Like when I go back, and I heard a really great point on a podcast the other day that for these games that are so big, every day that you stay away from it, it makes it worse and worse when you return, because you get more and more removed from that world and that story. So he was making the point that if you have these big games and you see yourself starting to slip, to just dive back in for even like 30 minutes, just to keep your feet wet, essentially. So you're not so lost if you come back 2 weeks later. So I've been trying to do that. I've been trying to, you know, maybe play 20 minutes in the morning before I go to work, or, you know, when I come home, if, you know, we're waiting for dinner to be ready, I'll go play for 45 minutes or something like that, just to try and keep into it if I can. But I definitely feel my interest slipping, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes. See if I can get through it. Let's see, anything out of the ordinary to look forward to, Troy, that we know of?
Well, it's not going to be The Division, because the beta got pushed back. Actually, the alpha for Xbox One starts this week, so if anybody who's lucky enough to got that was able to get into the alpha, which you had to pre-order the game early enough to get into the alpha, we'll be able to play it this week for Xbox One, unless that gets pushed back. But the beta got pushed back from March to, I don't know, I don't think they even gave a date. So yeah, another game that's been pushed back. Throw it in the pile, because a lot of games are just starting to get that, I don't know, it's just getting too much to try and finish, or they've had other games that they were trying to finish and it's not working out for such games, because The Division has, you know, they had Rainbow Six Siege. So if it's the same guys working, I know it's still Ubisoft and Tom Clancy, but, you know, maybe that's a different division, but yeah.
I saw somebody on a comment thread earlier. He said they should just call it, they should rename this game Tom Clancy's The Delayed. I thought that was pretty clever. That seems to fit, so.
It does.
Yeah. I'm hoping I get in, but I don't think I'm going to. I don't ever really have, I don't know. I always hope that I get in these betas. I seem like I sign up for all of them, but I don't think I ever. I just don't get into the console ones that much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the console ones seem to take, it's just not, they just don't want to get a lot of people in them for some reason, even though they need to get more people in them so they can stress test. But yeah, for some reason the console ones just do not seem to ever work out the way they should work out.
Here's something to look forward to. Wii owners out there, Wii U owners out there, rather. Minecraft is coming to Wii U very soon, which is pretty crazy. Microsoft has put actually allowing this game on Wii U. Minecraft is a great game. So if you have a Wii U, it is going to be the second screen compatible, like completely. So you can play Minecraft right there on your little tablet in at home if you want and use the stylus. So that's pretty cool. It's about time it made it to Wii U. I feel like that's like the one console it should have been on all this time. Like, I mean, no disrespect to the PlayStation, the Vita, or the Xbox, but I mean, yeah, PC makes sense because that's what it was originated on. But I feel like the kid crowd, that could have been a huge system seller for Nintendo if they would have got there first rather than last. So
yeah,
but it is coming. And there was, as we were recording, there was some new news for Final Fantasy VII. Not exactly all like wildly new. They kind of elaborate a little bit more, saying it will be multi-parted, seeming to imply more that it would be like Final Fantasy VII Part 1, Final Fantasy VII Part 2, that they are adding some content in there as well, but the whole core experience for Final Fantasy VII will be retained, and that it's being made on Unreal Engine 4, which is what Final Fantasy XV is being made on, and they actually referenced Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy Dissidia, so you were spot on there, Troy, with calling that out as comparing it to Kingdom Hearts.
But yeah, I kind of know what I'm talking about.
That would explain how I think it's been developed so quickly is Unreal Engine 4. Because, I mean, yeah, they've made that engine, Epic has made that engine pretty easy to adapt to. So that would explain quite a bit. So, other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot coming up that is, you know, like newsworthy. It's no Game Awards anymore. I don't think there are any more press conferences, that kind of thing. So I guess we will be back in a week. You got any plans to get into new games, Troy?
No, not really. Okay. Unless like another Steam sale or something, or not even a Steam sale, but just maybe something on sale on Steam or anything like that. But I don't think I'm going to get anything new for a little while.
Okay.
So
let's see, and that should just about wrap us up here on this episode of VGCast. As always, if you guys like what you see, please give us a thumbs up, a like, a review, and/or a rating. To show us some support, feel free to subscribe via iTunes. That is the podcast app within iTunes, or rather within iOS. You find us on Podcast Addict, which is my recommendation for Android. And you can also use Pocket Casts on Android as well. I hear that one's doing pretty well. Or you can find us simply on Podomatic.com, which is where we host all of our episodes. Troy, thanks for doing this again. And as always, you guys, keep gaming.